There's a popular song that is played in the radio stations most Christmas season, and it really annoys a lot of preachers, and it is called Mary, Did You Know? Mary, did you know that your lowly son came to save our sons and daughters, et cetera, et cetera. The whole song is questioning whether or not Mary knew. And I knew a priest at seminary, a Roman Catholic priest, who was an old crotchety priest, and he put a meme up on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and he said, for the last time, Mary did know. But Joseph, not so much. I can just picture Joseph wanting to look at Mary, a 13-year-old girl, and wanting to shake her and ask, you're pregnant from whom? We just got betrothed here, and I've been making wedding plans. And he's thinking to himself, I really can't get the deposits that I put on those ephods for the groomsmen. And the reception is booked, and I have to pay the rest whether or not we're going to go through with this thing. It's not like I have an insight to it. But that's not what he signed up for, Mary. Now, Mary claims that this child is of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph thinks, an angel told you that. The girls in Jerusalem really have imaginations these days. I can just see that Joseph, not being comfortable and living in this great angst in the midst of wedding planning and falling asleep with anxiety. A moment yet again, God shocks a faithful and righteous man, and it is easy for him to think, wait a minute, my life is not supposed to be turning out like this. I should not have gotten this deal. I should not have gotten this cancer. I should not have been left by my spouse. All those worries that we all share. I'd planned on working in this place until retirement. Now I have to change my life. We all feel this way. The deal that we get is not what we signed up for. Why, God? What are you doing here? And what is Joseph supposed to do? How is he supposed to raise this child? Can this really be a miracle? But what Joseph does not do is to ask the Lord a sign. He decides to put Mary away quietly. But yet again, an angel of the Lord appears to him in the text, and Joseph wakes up from his sleep, if you will, and decides to go on in what God is telling it's going to happen. God will come and dwell in human flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. He is reminded of the prophecy. Now, most of you know that for the religion Islam, incarnation is scandalous. And my family, who are not so devout Muslims, they're Episcopalian Muslims, they still think that incarnation is scandalous, and we get in this great family fights about the incarnation. About the prophet Jesus, and I say, Dad, it's not really a prophet, and Jesus was God, and there we go. We go at it for hours and hours. But Islam thinks that God can't dwell in human flesh because that's unthinkable. Human flesh is dirty, it's corrupt, and God is so high and so holy and so above this world that how can God come and dwell in the body of a human? And that really does scare them, the thought of this. And what I want to say to my dad is that in the face of all that we see in the world in these days, all the fighting, all the violence, all the attacks in the church, the Coptic church was just attacked last week, there were two bombings in Turkey, live human bombs, in the midst of all these worries, and thinking that God can't dwell in human flesh, yet we have a hope. We have a hope that God indeed, this child that is about to come into the world, Emmanuel, will come and assume human flesh. And with that assumption, if you will, he will heal the humanity. A great professor of mine, who was also a crotchety old man, I don't want you to think everyone in my seminary was crotchety old things. I certainly wasn't. He was so particular about the liturgy, and you could never make, his name was Father Klukas, and you could never make this man happy because there will always be something that's going wrong in the seminary chapel in the Thursday night liturgy. And we would go off, when he was celebrating Mass, we would go out of the chapel and we would bow our heads and he said, "Let us pray." And he would often start with, "God, we are so incompetent. And we thank you for coming among us. We thank you, although we don't deserve this worship," was just, he would go on and on about how awful we were. But yet, God chose to come among us. Yet God chose to come and dwell in the Eucharist and in the midst of our presence and in his word. And that is the mystery that we are waiting for. We're 1 week away from that wonderful mystery of the incarnation, that God came in human flesh to dwell among us and to heal us and to be one of us, to walk on earth. And in this season, may we be ready, like Joseph, to accept the call. May we get up, however ridiculous it sounds, a dream, an angel in that dream. May we be ready to receive the words of our Lord. And may we be like his mother, to say, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." So as we get ready to celebrate the mystery of the incarnation in this season, may we be willing to look at our lives and be changed, be transformed, and be renewed in the knowledge and love of the Lord as we celebrate the upcoming birth of his most gracious Son and certainly of his most gracious Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.